What we're going to share a little bit about today is the idea of how death had to bow its knee. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow. That's all the people it's talking about. From the time of all creation since the beginning till the time that the last trumpet is sounded, everybody's going to bow their knee. To me, I get great pride wells up inside of me knowing that I'm part of a movement where I'm following a king. And that king is the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. And that everybody's going to bow. It doesn't matter if you want to or not. But when you come in the presence of his royalty and his majesty, all you're going to be able to do is go down. And that is going to be a great and glorious day. But until then, we know that a lot of great and mighty things happen. And we're going to look at that today. I don't know about you what you think about death, and I apologize if maybe you've lost a loved one recently and maybe this is a little tender, but hopefully this will bring some comfort, you know, to your heart with the idea of what death is. Growing up as a kid, you know, I know I kind of wondered about death every now and then when maybe a family member passed away. I know a lot of the kids growing up today kind of maybe think about terrorism. You know, when I was a kid, it was us against Russia. You know, winner take all. You remember that? Some of you guys are old enough to remember that a little bit about the idea of the arms race with nuclear power. You know, everybody was thinking that some wacko is going to push a button, you know, and then it could be all over that quick. And it used to bother me a little bit because, you know, deep inside I knew I wasn't right yet. And I always had that going on inside of me, you know, I wonder what will happen to me when I die. You know, I know what the, you know, a little bit about the Bible. Are you one of those like me? When I grew up, I knew a little bit about the Bible. I mainly just knew enough to be dangerous. You know, I had a lot of misconceptions about it. You know, I went to maybe Sunday school as a kid and tried to pick up a few things, and then I fell away from God, my testimony, and it was unfortunate, but I just kind of went my own way. And then in that process of going my own way, I know that, you know, I made a lot of mistakes. And death is one of those things that always kind of weighed upon my heart sometimes. I mean, I didn't worry about it all the time, just when I was in a weakened condition, as my grandpa would say. Every now and then you get into a weakened condition. So we're going to look today about how our Lord and Master Jesus Christ made death bow its knee. When you bow your knee, you bow to someone greater, right? You don't bow your knee to anybody. You only bow to one greater than yourself. Like I said, death is one of those things that's a little bit permanent. You know, there's times we cheated death. I know I cheated death many times. But, you know, death in the end always gets its way. And as we look today about the power of what Jesus Christ did, what really defeated death was the power of the resurrection. And that's what we're going to see. Acts 2:24 is the scripture I'm going to start with today. It said, "But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you so much for the power of your resurrection truth abiding in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for that anointing that's here today. That anointing to be able to break every yoke of bondage, everything that tries to hold us back from your best, Lord. We break its power and put it under our feet right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you. I yield to the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I yield to it. And Lord, I want to use it for your glory. I pray words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we went over some of this stuff from time to time in bits and pieces about what death is. You know, a lot of people have some misconceptions about death. I know I did growing up. You know, and I know there's a certain denomination believes in soul sleep. You know what that is? Like when you die, you go to the grave and you stay asleep until the resurrection time. Now we know the Bible talks about a little bit different. I hope you've picked that part up. I like the scripture that says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." That sounds exciting to me. That when I check out of this place, I go directly to the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I find comfort in that. I found that gives me a sense of hope, you know, and I'm glad I'm a part of a movement that believes that, you know, what the Bible says is true. Now, the people that kind of, you know, the two kinds of death that we get misconstrued about Number one, there's fears of physical death and spiritual death, and we're going to go into that in just a moment. You know, physical death is pretty much a no-brainer. We know what that looks like, right? We've maybe, you know, lost a loved one, or we have noticed, you know, some of these things. You know, when your body ceases to function, and it will, all of our bodies, unless we're part of the rapture generation, which I hope we are, but if we're not, you know, we need to stay faithful to the end. But if we're not part of that rapture generation, there is a high probability that we are going to pass from this life. Our body is going to expire. It's going to cease to function. Sometimes it ceases to function because of old age. You know, God's best is to go in your sleep, amen? That's one of my goals. You know, the other goal is to, you know, parachute into Iran with a bunch of gospel tracts written in Arabic and go out as a martyr. That's my other goal. I don't know which one I'll get, you know. But anyway, I'm crazy like that. I don't want to go to a nursing home. I want to go out in a blaze of glory. Amen. At least we'll see what happens. I don't believe in suicide. I suppose you might say, well, that's suicide. Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's a different way. Different way. So that's one way of going out. Or sometimes an accident happens, doesn't it? We've all maybe had maybe a friend or a loved one, somebody that was taken well before their time. And we don't know why. You know, many people try to make excuses. Well, God needed somebody up in heaven to hoe their garden. God don't need nobody to hoe no garden. There's one person that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's the devil. Amen? You know, God does not take a mother away from their children when they're 30 years old. God is not behind that. That is part of either an accident because we did something silly, you know, and we do make mistakes, or the fact of the matter is that, you know, perhaps, you know, the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, to the untrained eye, meaning somebody who doesn't have a spiritual eye, physical death looks like the worst kind of death there is. You know, I don't know about you, have you ever thought about, man, I'm going to miss out on this, and I'm going to miss out on that. I'm not going to see my kids grow up. I'm not going to see my grandchildren. You know, all these things go through our mind. Just a wide variety of all these experiences that we think we're going to miss out on. So, you know, we look at this and we say, man, physical death, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to somebody. Yes and no, mostly no. The worst thing that can happen to you and I is spiritual death. Now, spiritual death is another thing. Spiritual death means that we're separated from God. Now, remember, who is God? Yeah, he's the creator of the heavens and earth. Yeah, that guy, amen? But he's also the author of life, true life, the real life. Now, we think we're living it up down here, jet skiing, mountain climbing, having all these nice things, but that's not life. Those are just things. True life is to be with God and experience his life with us every step of the way. So spiritual death means being separated from that life. Now, when you're born on this planet, you are born separated from God. Thank you, Adam, right? Adam and Eve, they blew it. You know, I wonder who gets to or has to live by Adam in heaven. You know what I mean? You know, oh, that guy, you know, the guy who threw it all away. But regardless of that, you know, and I know there's the idea of the age accountability, that if a baby dies, they go to be in heaven, and I believe that because they haven't had a choice to sin yet. Most of you, if you can understand my voice, that day is gone. You've had a choice already. So you probably fall into the next criteria. That means we have chosen to walk in that sin nature, that selfish nature. And so with that selfish nature comes separation from God. And that's an unfortunate place to be. Because primarily we're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. You are a spirit being. The real you is spirit. That's why the Bible says if you are born again, you're a new creation. The new creation gets brand new. It's made brand spanking new. Now, the soul part, as we know, is our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions. When you get born again, does your soul change? Maybe a little, but not a lot. Your soul changes by the transforming of your mind, by renewing it with the Word of God. And it's a process where your life gets changed. And that's why we come to church and sit under, you know, preaching and teaching. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we pray. That's why we do Bible study. All these things help to transform us and make us into who God wants us to be. And then we know what our body is. It's the shell. And the body is, you know, even though we spend a lot of time on our body, you know, I don't know how many millions of dollars Americans spends on makeup and all these things, you know. We spend the most money on our body. Then it would be our soul. You know, time you figure your body needs to eat, right? A guy's got to eat. You know, then you got your soul, all the different things that make you emotionally happy. And then lastly, you may buy a $20 Bible. Huh? Right? Come on, be honest, people. You know, fives, you go get a leather Bible, man. Believe God for the best, right? I'm just kidding. Any Bible's good. But electronic Bible, we get those. But we spend the least amount of money on the most important thing. And that's why we wonder why we're in the mess we're in sometimes. But death, spiritual death, being separated from God, you know, that's the hardest thing. You know, one thing that we forget as we talk about spirit, soul, and body, when we expire, our body ceases to function. The heart stops beating, the lungs start to stop to breathe. But where is the real you? Right? The real you is not your body, right? It's your spirit and your soul. You know, we forget the fact that our spirit and soul is going to live on forever. It's the eternal part of the equation in our life, where we're going to live forever somewhere. You know, when Jesus was on the cross and one of the thieves, you know, said to him, and one of them was mean, he just kept cursing at him and stuff. That guy's a real goof, right? You know, just think about that. Your last dying breath, you spend it cursing God. You know, that just don't make sense to me. But the other guy, you know, he stuck up for Jesus. And Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise, right? Be with me in paradise. Now, we know in the Old Testament, that was still Old Testament, it was pre-resurrection. You know, that there in the Old Testament, sinners went to a place of torture, and the saints went to a nicer place, a holding place, waiting for that resurrection day. But that's kind of what happens. You know, our spirit and soul, we live forever somewhere. And it's important that we decide, you know, what we're going to do. Because that separation, that gap, you know, that, you know, when I started to understand this a little bit, you know, and that's where we started to see what the cross is. If you could just picture a chasm, like down the center of this aisle here, and, you know, God is on one side and you're on the other, you can't get across there. I don't think too many here could make that jump. You might, a few of you might. You don't get a running start. I mean, you just get a standing start. Tough jump. But if you took a cross and set it between those things, you could walk on that cross and get across to the other side. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. Through the cross, he made a way for us to get back to God, that we could be able not to be bound up by death again. So let's look at some resurrection truths, and that's really what we want to get to today. You know, the resurrection of God, the resurrection when God rose Jesus up from the dead. You know, one thing that we always remember is Jesus is with us today. Now, the Bible says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? But yet, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, the Spirit of Christ, which is another comforter, meaning he could comfort us just like Jesus did. It's hard to imagine. You know, a lot of us would, if we had that choice, Holy Spirit or Jesus? Holy Spirit, Jesus. Jesus I can touch, Holy Spirit I can't. I pick Jesus. Okay. Well, Jesus can't be with you all the time. Jesus has a lot of people he needs to be with, right? Everybody in this room would probably like to have some quality time with Jesus. And with quality comes quantity, right? He can't be everywhere at once. So what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit. Aha! On the other hand, the Holy Spirit can be with each and every person in this room all the time. Omnipresence, the presence, you know, being God. So that's far better. So once they start to understand that, the resurrection truth of Jesus raising from the dead and he sent the Holy Spirit makes a little difference. Now, what we kind of want to remember, Easter. Easter's not just the day. You know, really, Easter's a pagan word. You know, we say it because it's what everybody can associate with, you know, in our culture. Technically, it's Resurrection Sunday, if you want to get real cool about it, right? It's Res Sunday, man. It's Res. Jesus rose from the dead. But Easter is what we call it, and Easter is not just a day. What we have to understand is the fact that resurrection life lives in us every day. No matter how many times you stumble, how many times you go down, how hard the enemy comes against your life, that resurrection life is living inside of you. And at any moment, at any time, you can cry out to God and He can raise you up out of your situation. And that's the power that He has on our behalf. And the benefit of the resurrection, if Jesus would not have rose from the dead, none of this would have been possible for you and I. And that's why we need to stick to this gospel truth that Jesus' body was raised. They raised the body. You know, that body's never been found. Some have lied about it. You know, Muslims, they have a big issue with this. They don't believe God would have ever killed His son. So they believe in the swoon theory or different things where Jesus pretended to be dead and they put Him in a cave and then He snuck away or different things. You know, but we believe that God, Jesus died. See, Jesus expired on our behalf. He also experienced spiritual separation from God. See, remember, if you're dead spiritually, it doesn't mean you cease to exist, right? It just means you're separated from God. So when Jesus paid that price, He experienced that separation so that you and I can tap in to what the new life that He has for us, and we need to get that every day. The Bible talks about Him, you know, we look at, you know, Easter Sunday sometimes like a memorial day. You know, it's a day, you know, we go out and we hide eggs and we go and do all these different things. We maybe hide an Easter basket, you know, and, you know, my wife does that for the kids she used to back when they were younger and things like that. Just a lot of different elements that go into this day, coloring eggs, you know, things like that. But I'm not about eggs. You know what I'm saying? You know, they do that. I live my own conviction. You know, I'm more into the fact of I just like to set this day apart for one thing, and that's to worship Jesus. That's my thing. I mean, I know there's other things that are fun for kids and things like that, but we need to make sure that they understand that concept. But the Bible said He's the firstborn of many brethren. What does it mean? I'm the firstborn in my family. Is there other people that's firstborn in their families today? Or a few of you, right? Well, if you're firstborn, what does that mean? There's going to be others following you, right? If not, you wouldn't say firstborn, you'd say the only born. So Jesus is the firstborn, meaning when Jesus experienced that separation, if sin was this chair and Scott was Scott and I was God, of course we'd do it the other way around, but just for sake of argument, let's say I'm God. You know, it's my story, right? And you know, Scott being the firstborn, right now we're separated. But by Jesus going to the cross and dying and rise again, you know, Scott, then I'm with him. We're together now. We're in the same relationship, same family. And he made a way so that we could be part of that family. Now, hopefully, if you got married, that you get along with your in-laws. Now, just for sake of argument, you know, don't say that you don't, please. Not today. This is a holy day, right? But, you know, how many of you have really been accepted by your in-laws? You know what I'm saying? They just love you. I mean, my family loves my wife more than me. I know that. But I can deal with that. You know, yeah, this is how it is. They like her better than me. Of course, she's nicer than me. I can understand that. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I just am what I am, you know. I'm getting better, but I'm not her. She's just a likable person, you know. But, you know, it's like that when we come into the family of God. You know, we're accepted into that family. We're part of that group now. And we don't have to be a second-class citizen. You know, hopefully you don't come into the kingdom of God and saying, you know, your church family or something, you know. Have you ever done that? Your family. I got my family. You got your family. No. We're all family in the kingdom of God, right? We're all blood kin now because of the blood of Him. Now, Jesus defeated death on our behalf, so we don't have to fear it again. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." Now, devil and death have been rendered powerless. That doesn't mean they cease to exist. There still is a devil, and people still die, right? But their power has been stripped from them. There's a difference. And that's what you and I need to grasp a hold of. That You know, when we look the devil in the eye, or we look death in the eye, we don't have to be afraid again. What's the Bible say fear brings? Fear brings torment, right? We've all been tormented before. And that fear makes us a slave. It brings bondage to our life where we can't maybe function properly. There's some people that are just riddled by fear. Now, I'll be honest, I don't like scary movies. Some people thrive on them. I just don't. Never did, even as a kid. Not my thing. I wasn't big into vampires as a kid, you know, that stuff. Now people just love them. You know, to me, vampires back in the day weren't cool. There were those guys that were hideous looking that usually, you know, but now they've made them out with the Twilight series to be really, you know, something that people want to be a part of, doesn't it? Make it look like being a vampire is really cool. It's not. You know, you can't persuade me. No way. But I don't like fear. And sudden fear, when fear comes upon you, you know, when people are afraid, they're afraid to act. You know, maybe you're afraid to step out and get that new job. Maybe you're afraid to, you know, give your heart into your marriage or your relationship because you've been hurt before. So you're always holding back because you're afraid. But I got news, Jesus came to take the fear away. I'm not saying he's going to deliver you from every ounce of pain that ever happens in your life. Pain is a part of life sometimes. You may get your heart broken. You may not get the job. But you should never be afraid to step out and to be like Peter did, step out on the water to try to get, you know, closer to God and what he has for your life. So the devil we know has been defeated. Now, something that I really excel on and really enjoy. Now, this time of year, we know this is the Passover time, right? The Jewish people celebrate Passover. The Jewish people had been slaves in Egypt and they had went down there because there was a famine in the land and Joseph had great favor and he rose him up to be number two in the kingdom. Really wise man of God and made some excellent business decisions. And, you know, then they brought his family down and, you know, they thrived and started to really grow as a nation. And then the Egyptians got afraid of him. They thought they was going to overtake him. So then they put him into slavery and they made him make bricks. They would give them straw and mud, and they would have to stomp out the brick, stomp it in, and, you know, get it all mixed together, and they'd make, you know, cut them out and put them out in the sun and dry. Well, finally it came time that, you know, that was still not keeping them down, so they wanted to kill the babies, the male babies. So Pharaoh made a law that any boy that's born, you put him to death. Well, the children of Israel really started to cry out to God, and, you know, that's when Moses was spared. And make a long story short, he went into the palace, and then he, you know, killed an Egyptian, then he ran off, and then finally it was time for God to call him back. And he called him back in the time to a series of plagues, and Pharaoh was just getting, you know, saying, I'm not going to let him go, I'll let you go. Oh, nope, not going to let you go. Okay, you can go. Nope, change my mind. Back and forth till finally it came to the place where, you know, they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to separate the men from the boys. We're going to separate God's people from those who aren't. I want you to kill a lamb. You're going to eat the lamb. And I want you to put the blood over the doorpost. And the death angel is going to be released. And if you don't have the blood over your doorpost, your firstborn is going to die. That's witness as well with me. And some of you that raised your hand being the firstborn, right? They were going to die. Well, years later, Jesus came. Because every year they had to do this Passover meal to reenact that. But finally, Jesus came. And maybe some of you didn't know, but Jesus was the final Passover lamb, the last one that was ever needed. Because Jesus, and he freaked his disciples out. He says, I want you to drink this. It's my blood. And I want you to eat this. This is my body. He was the last Passover lamb. And when he was raised up that day, he defeated the power of Satan over their life. He was innocent but died a sinner's death. See, they always looked for the perfect lamb. Couldn't have a blemish on it. So Jesus is our Passover lamb. So when we watch that reenactment today, I pledge allegiance to the lamb. Can you actually say that? Do you really know what that means? I pledge allegiance to that lamb that hung on that tree who died for you and me. I give my life to him. I don't know about you, but Jesus is my hero. He's my champion. I don't know if you have a hero or a champion, somebody that you really count on or something really important to you. But once I understood how the two testaments fit together and understood the idea of what was needed in a sacrifice, Jesus became my hero in my life. Now, sometimes it's hard to understand. You know, death being defeated, the idea of when you, you know, it's painful sometimes when you see a loved one go. But I'll be honest, before I got saved, you know, death was always really depressing. But some of the greatest moments that I've experienced is when a Christian goes on to be with the Lord. Now, some of you say, that's morbid, man. You know, that just ain't right. It is, if you really understand the big picture. You know, the greatest thing is when a Christian runs his race and finishes his race and crosses that finish line and didn't stay. He may have fell down a time or two. We've all fallen down. But he gets up and he crosses that line. You know, and that line is the line of going on to be with God. And that's an exciting thing for us to be, is when we cross that line. In closing, I want us to look beyond our natural mind today and try to understand, you know, these spiritual truths of how important it is. You know, I don't understand when that death angel was released, that just because they ate some, you know, and I've said this before, I'm a cattleman. You know, I was raised on a farm, we raised cattle. You know, and I didn't understand why sheep had so much clout in the Bible. You know, I apologize if you're a sheep person, but, you know, when I was raised, we looked down on sheep people a little bit, you know, because we were cattle people. We were cattle barons. No. But I mean, it was hard for me. He says, you know, I'd rather eat a steak and a lamb chop any day. You know what I mean? I don't know. Cattle just seemed, but then it seemed like when you had a big sin, lamb carried more power than a cow when you killed it. So that was hard for me to grasp. And so the idea of just because you ate a little bit of sheep meat and you took some blood and you put it over your door, that the death angel wouldn't bother you, that just, it's hard to understand. And, you know, but the same token, like I've always said, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk. I don't understand that. And how can somebody go into a cross, being nailed there and hanging for 6 grueling hours, could pay the price for me so I don't have to go there? I deserve it. I'm so glad I don't get what I deserve all the time. But he hung there. And the being crucified, as we've all know, it's bad enough to have nails driven through your hands and feet. But crucifixion, the way you died, was by suffocation. The reason why they nailed your feet, the Roman, in their great wisdom, wanted you to suffer longer. If they would have tied your hands, you would have become so exhausted that your feet would have drugged down, that the pressure would have been on your lungs and you couldn't breathe. But they, in their infinite wisdom, nailed their feet so that you would always want to push up. Something in you would always push up. The will to live, you would fight it till the end. Well, Jesus fought it for 6 hours. That's not to mention the beating that he took earlier. And then when it's time, he said, it is finished. And it was. He paid the price for you and me. And that's why we're here today. That's why we celebrate the Lamb. That's why we celebrate the power of the resurrection life, you know, working inside of us. Because I believe in my heart of hearts that Jesus Christ dying in my place paid my total price. And now I get to go free. And I hope that you've made that decision also. Let's bow in prayer.